Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I'm ready when you are, big dog, nasty dog, dog, okay. Dog, big dog,
big,
sweet
nasty dog.
Beans. What brand of what?
Dog just made of beans. Yeah. Delicious.
A dog made of. Do you want a banana made of beans?
Yes, that
frozen
seems to be
beans.
A big sort of meme of like just hiding baked beans, Heinz baked beans in places.
Does it have to be Heinz?
I don't think you can really tell from JPEGs, heavily compressed JPEGs from the internet, what kind of brand of beans it is.
I do go Heinz now, but I used to go Branston.
Yeah, why did your heel turn on?
Sainsbury's don't seem to stock Branston. Which is a bit of a disappointment.
Do you kind of go to supermarkets and sort of, welcome to the Nook Picture, I'm Pete Donaldson, it's Mother the Second of May, Pinch Punch Second of the Month, blah, blah, blah. Hope you had a good Sunday.
Say my name as well.
You're Luke Moore.
Thank you. Carry on with your point.
When you go into a supermarket, you're kind of like, you remember what it was like last time? Because I just go in, I go, that's new, grab that. And Sarah appreciates the fact that I do, she doesn't appreciate the fact that I always forget basics. But she appreciates the fact that I'll grab something that she wasn't necessarily expecting.
Yeah.
And it's usually something from the fruit aisle. A tamarind or a star fruit.
I don't think... That tamarind you got me the other day that you said you brought back from St. Lucia, did you actually just buy that from the supermarket?
No, but I brought that from St. Lucia, but it was... Like, I think it came from Thailand. So it got to Thailand, from Thailand, all the way to St. Lucia, just to be brought back for you to have a munch on. Yeah.
We are sponsored by some environmentally friendly...
Sponsors. Not my fault. I didn't choose it.
I know. What was the question? Oh, yeah. So the supermarket.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of a bone of contention in our house because the wife I have access to, I am absolutely sure she doesn't check the cupboards or the fridge before she does the shopping list.
Okay.
And then I go and do, I think I might have said this to you before, but when I go and take her to ice skating on a Thursday night, I then do the weekly shop while she's out ice skating.
Right, okay.
Because it's quite near.
Yeah.
And I'm in the car and I haven't got to carry all the bags back.
Yeah.
And then we kind of supplement it with bits during the week. Anyway.
And you come to the ice rink and you lay out a prawn ring and she's a jump over it.
Exactly. It's like an Iceland advert. And then we go, thank God my mum has gone to Iceland.
What band was that?
Don't know, actually. Look it up when I'm telling the story. Because you don't listen to my stories anyway.
Nope.
And so what I do find, though, when I go and I get a list, and I find it very difficult to... So what I'd like to do is be in the absolute God-level tier of shoppers, Pete, and have a memory of how the supermarket's laid out, and then do the shopping list in that order.
Yeah.
Rather than doing it from the cupboards and the fridge from at home, where I'm going back and forth.
Right, okay, yeah,
so I don't know where I am. Mm. But then I also realised fairly recently that the smaller Sainsbury's, we're talking about Sainsbury's here, I go to Sainsbury's 90% of the time.
Right.
They change everything around all the time.
Yeah.
To mess with your mind.
Mess with your mind.
It's a government mind control trick to make sure you stay more time in the supermarket. So that's why they'll put the bread right at the very back. You know that?
But
you have to walk through the whole shop to get your bread.
But if they kind of move stuff around to keep it interesting for you and keep you in the store more, like that just makes me run quick around the shop because I'm like, right, I need fabric softener. Don't know where it is.
I can imagine you in the supermarket on your own. You're a maniac.
Oh, it's great. It's like I'll buy some seeds from Africa.
Yeah.
In the world food aisle.
What does that mean?
I'll just be like, they look good. I'll figure out how to cook them later and whether they go with anything, it doesn't really matter. Because I made on Easter Sunday, I made hot cross buns breakfast bap.
I saw that. Yeah, you sent a photo.
Hot cross buns, egg, hot sauce, two hash browns, and that's your lot, really.
Yeah.
Needed meat. It needed some kind of sausage in there.
I'm on board with that until I get to the thorny issue of the sultanas and the hot cross buns.
Yeah.
If there's no sultanas in it, if it's just a sweeter bun, I'd be fine with that, because I like a brioche.
Yeah.
You know, how did it go down? Go down well?
To be honest, even I was a bit disappointed with it. I thought it was going to taste sensational, but it wasn't really there.
Did you have the idea organically?
No.
Well, up?
Organically, as in I needed something. I got two slices of bread out, and I was like, you know what? I want to get fancy with this.
And what did the partner you have access to think about it? Was she not involved?
There's cheese in there as well, which helped. I'm not sure about that. I don't think
cheese was.
She sort of decimated it. The content. She didn't really eat much of the bun itself.
But she pulled it apart.
She pulled it apart. Yeah.
Yeah. And what about the dogs?
They had a little couple of bits of cheese. That's about it. Really.
Little sniff.
They sniff around.
Because the photo you sent was of the BAP itself.
Mm, egg everywhere.
And then you sent a photo of two dogs sat there looking at you.
I love those guys.
Mm. So anyway, the beans.
Beans.
So
beans everywhere.
Quite controversially, and I know our listeners will have an opinion on this, I'm sure.
Mm.
I don't really like buying the big cans of beans.
Right.
So I never eat the whole can.
Yeah, they just sit in the fridge.
Yeah. And so I like go to the 200 gram tins.
What's your policy if you do have to put a tin in the fridge?
Yeah.
Do you kind of get half off the... Yeah.
No.
Exactly, cling film. People think... Because it's metal, you've got to put like foil on it, or you've just got to leave half the can open and then fold it down. It's not helping anyone. Just a bit of cling film.
Cling film, the Sainsbury's cling film was the worst cling film on the market.
Yeah, no cling film is good cling film.
But I mean, Sainsbury's is particularly bad.
I was very pleased as I was sat in the kitchen for about 10 minutes resurrecting a roll of cling film that had gone round the thing a few times in a weird way. I was just like, what is happening?
I will put cling film on the tin.
Mm.
But anyway, so I'll go for the three pack of Sainsbury's, Heinz 200 grammers in Sainsbury's. But I would go Branston if they stocked Branston, but they won't. So if you're listening, Sainsbury's, Streatham Common, you've got a willing customer for your Branston beans here. Yeah. So I can't be alone. I can't be alone here.
Look, can I shock you? I've not eaten beans in about 6 months.
Why?
Just Sarah eats beans all the time. I don't eat any beans.
But think of the stuff you do eat. And it's even more confusing as to why you get
it's
rid of beans.
It's just a bit like, oh, beans. I've moved past that. I'm earning.
Beans seen as a real poor man's food, are they? Po' boy.
I don't know. I just think it's... I just look at it, I go, oh, it's just... We can do better, Britain.
You reckon?
Yeah. So it's a sign of a declining nation.
Yeah. I'm a fan. I think people could go too over the top with them. I think people could have too many of them.
The beans boys.
I don't like to see beans on toast where you've got two slices of toast that you can't actually see because there's so many beans. That's too much.
How are you picking up the slices of toast?
Well, it's a knife and fork, isn't it? You don't eat beans on toast without a knife and fork.
If I ever touch a bean and beans on toast, you've got to have one corner that's got no beans on it. You pull that out, and then you've got lovely tomatoey buttery bread, and you fold that up and put that in your mouth.
Not bread, toast,
and then walk away from the beans.
That's it. That's the only contribution the beans is making. Well, when I make beans, I always pull the can off, the lid off. And I'll always have a little lick of the cold bean juice. I love the cold bean juice, and the wife I have access to is sickened
absolutely
by it.
Absolutely rank.
What's wrong with that?
You look like a right bean boy.
That's some of the stuff you've done.
I know, but
so
still.
You've done frozen sausages and all sorts. Would you do a frozen sausage now?
Not with this, no, not with my constitution.
So there is a limit now?
I think I could talk myself into it, I reckon, but yeah.
Would you go for a good quality sausage?
I don't know, would they be worse? I just sort of think that the cheaper sausages have probably been frozen for longer. I don't know.
Well, the reason I ask is because I am a user of Heck sausages. You know those? They're really low calorie chicken sausages. They're actually really nice, and you get used to them, and they're fine. But then what happens is when you have a nice sausage after that, it blows your fucking mind to bits. So my mum and dad, we were at a family thing a couple of weeks back, and my mum, and it was like a barbecue thing because the weather was particularly nice. And my mum said, "I'll bring sausages from Phil the butcher. He's a local butcher."
Yeah.
Near where they live, and she brought those along, and they cooked on the barbecue. Because I was so used to Heck sausages, my God, they blew my mind. They're so well made, like handmade with all the best ingredients. I think if you took one of those and froze it, you could probably get away with eating that.
Because of the way the
you shouldn't be eating raw pork though. I just want that absolutely clear for
the physical kind of like dimensions of a sausage, handmade is not a selling point.
Oh, that's what you mean.
I don't want to see a brawny butcher handling a sausage
yeah.
into my mouth. I don't need that.
Why do you think, why is the butcher brawny in your mind?
Because it turns me on.
Is it because he's so brawny that he sometimes mistakes his fingers for sausages?
Yeah, it's a little sausage. Yeah, because you've got to protect yourself from the big slices.
There's a reason why no
one... Or a gang have come round.
It's an actual phrase, isn't it? No one wants to see other sausages made.
Yeah.
There's a reason that's a phrase.
Yeah, exactly,
right?
Yeah.
But I would say as well, we talked to us years ago now, probably on this show, people got in touch, and in some parts of China or Japan or whatever, they eat raw chicken.
Right.
And it's fine.
Yeah.
It's probably not fine.
No.
But my beef with that... is that...
You can have raw beef, so...
No, I'm going to talk about beef in a minute. My issue with that is that it's just not very pleasant to eat, is it?
No.
So when people... So here's a thing with you. I know you have a steak tartare, you like a bit of that. Mm. I presume you like a bit of beef carpaccio as well.
Yes, yeah.
I like a bit of that as well. So, but my problem is, if you've got chunky beef, no matter the quality, it still doesn't taste as nice in terms of texture or flavour if it's really, really rare.
Right, okay.
Do you agree with that? It's not juicy, is it? It's really kind of weirdly cold and...
Get it down, yeah.
Yeah, but you can get... But it's not as nice, is it?
It's just a device to get down egg, Tabasco, capers, just anything, just a
no,
bit...
No, but I'm talking about a thick steak.
Right.
If you had a thick steak, say that thick...
Yeah.
And you, would you want it raw in the middle?
No. I'd like... I'm medium rare when I have a steak. Yeah. Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, but some people will eat it blue, won't they?
They will, yeah.
Some people will rip its horns off and wipe its arse and put it on the plate. Walk it through a warm room and then fucking put it on the plate. And I just don't think there's much in that flavour-wise.
Yeah.
I just think people do it to show off. Like, it's a virtue signal, isn't
it? Yes, yeah, no. Yeah, it's a macho thing, isn't it? It's like, look how fucking hardcore I am. But you're going to get stomach worms. Luke, would you like to hear the lyrics to My Mama's Gone to Iceland?
Yeah.
Because I thought it was a stupid song, fun song, right up my Straza kind of song.
Can you explain to our listeners who won't know anything what you're talking about?
It's a band called Bennett, who released a bit of a one-hit wonder, massive one-hit wonder, in fact. They did a song called Mum's Gone to Iceland. Iceland is a freezer shop, a frozen food shop in England.
There's a play on, is it not a play on the country Iceland as well in the song, or is that not, is it very
nope,
much noticed?
Not a single okay. thing. No cleverness in this.
Yeah.
More food, mama, give us more food, mama. I remember those lyrics. Give us prawn ring, mama, give us anything, mama. Thank God, my mum has gone to Iceland.
Then it went...
More cash, dadda, give her more cash, dadda. Be a bit flash, dadda, give her more cash, more. Thank God, my mum's gone to Iceland. And we don't make the dough, as the admin well know. Got no concept of your bad cash flow. And if there ain't that enough, just as life gets more tough, they bring out a new game for my Nintendo. My head's popping, TV window shopping, and there ain't no stopping with that ice cream topping. Thank God, my mum's gone to Iceland. We want mama what you can't afford, mama, and the TV pressure's aimed at your little treasures. Thank God, my mum's gone to Iceland. Bleed daddy dry, watch my mummy cry, and I can't stop wanting no matter how I try. So I guess the song is about advertising to children.
Social responsibility.
Yeah.
And they package it up, and they make them do a novelty video, and that's the game. And all of a sudden, 1997's most socially conscious hit is forgotten to history.
I just don't understand why they were having a go at Iceland. Have a go at ExxonMobil.
Yeah. Well, but you've got to do it in the experiences you can understand, right?
But I'm just saying that kick in Iceland, like, it's not a, you know, it's not an aspect, like, why have I got Iceland?
Because they are the worst supermarket out there, aren't they?
No, they're not.
They are definitely the worst.
Always got a good car park.
What's that mean?
I don't know. Yeah, what's wrong with Iceland? I don't know.
They're the worst.
What do you mean?
If our listeners had to send in a list of who they thought the worst supermarket was on the high street, Iceland would be bottom.
Disagree.
Who's worse?
Tesco.
Oh, get out.
What do you mean?
Tesco aren't great, but they're not worse than Iceland.
Tesco Metros, it's just the same thing.
You walk into
Iceland. There's never any surprises. Never any
surprises.
What do
you want out of a supermarket? It's not a ghost train,
like,
is it?
Oh, give us another brand other than Claritin.
You want the...
Crying out loud.
You want Disney's Haunted House in a supermarket?
It's just the same every time. What fruit have you got? Blueberries. Fucking brilliant.
True, actually.
Jesus.
But when you walk
into
Iceland...
Two different kinds of blueberries. Posh blueberries.
Iceland's just the world's longest freezer chest and everything's a quid.
But Iceland, there's so many different things. And they jump on bandwagons really quickly. They go, right, do you want the product but with katsu curry on the top?
I'll give them credit for that, actually. You could watch a reality show where, I don't know, Harry Redknapp in the jungles talked about fucking, you know, when he used to have iced buns.
Yeah.
As a kid,
yeah,
but he had them with blue icing,
yeah,
instead of white icing, And then
they're bang,
the
quick.
Next day, Arsenal have them.
They're live.
They are, actually. I'll give them credit for their flexibility.
On top of things.
And their price. Yeah. I'm not having a pop at them for their price, but I do think it feels quite depressing going in one.
It is. Well, it's depressing going in any supermarket, I
think. I can remember.
It's shit. Supermarkets are crap.
I can remember when COVID lockdown happened. And bear this in mind, I already live in West Norwood.
Right. And you had a little store in Iceland.
Well, no. I think for some reason, I will tell you what it was. The little supermarkets, kind of some lockdown thing, the little supermarkets couldn't open, but the big ones could. But there's no big one in West Norwood. You've got to Streatham. The only one that fit the big supermarket bracket was Iceland.
Right.
And I remember getting in a queue outside, a meter apart or whatever it was, 2 meters apart, about 50th in the queue, thinking, I think this is probably the most depressing thing I've done, because at the end of this queue, I'm going to be in Iceland. It's not even like a good thing to queue for. I'm being forced to queue. It's like I don't even want to do. So that's probably kind of slightly coloured my opinion of Iceland, I would say.
Okay. I mean, I just sort of think that if... Who is it now? Have we talked about this before? When the... Boris Yeltsin visited the United States in 1989, and he made an unscheduled stop-off at the at a supermarket in the US somewhere. It was we were going to the Johnson Space Center.
Was it definitely Yeltsin? Because he wasn't president of Russia till 91.
Hang on.
Was it Gorbachev?
No. Yeltsin and a small entourage made an unscheduled stop at a Randall's grocery store in Clear Lake, a suburb of Houston. Yeah, he wasn't in charge then.
Okay. Oh, that's fine. He just went. Okay.
But he marvelled at the free cheese samples and the fresh fish and stuff
loving
like
it.
That.
Yeah, okay,
he was loving it. He was like, wow, we don't have this.
Well, we all like
country.
That, don't we? But listen, Pete, even if you do have it, it's still good.
Yeah. And basically he was obviously at this point, he's still part of the Politburo. He was still part of
it. I think
he was a big swinger.
He's a mayor of Moscow, wasn't he, or something like that.
Yeah, he's still a big swinger. And he was shocked at how awesome it was. And this led to the breakup of the USSR. Would you sort of say that if he visited Iceland, he'd be like, yeah, let's keep it together.
Our way is the right way. Our way is the way forward, and we have to preserve it at all costs. Otherwise, before we know it, we're buying 3 frozen packs of Vol-au-Vents for a quid, and that is no life for anyone. That's probably what he was thinking. Yeltsin was the one who always just looked to get on the piss, didn't he? It was a country he turned up at.
He was falling off planes, wasn't he?
I think there was a country he turned up at, and the plane landed, and it was like fucking hell, and the red carpet was out and all the rest of it. And then some official had to come out and go, oh no, Mr. Yeltsin's unwell. He's asleep.
Yeah.
But he's just so pissed he can get off the plane. And they were like, we can't let him get off.
Yeah.
I like to think he was going, I'm fucking coming, I'm getting
off.
Let me off here. And he's in the toilet. That's not the way out. And they're wrestling him in. They've pulled all the little plastic shutters down the windows and they're wrestling him in there to stay there. And the guy at the front of the door.
The plane just wobbling a bit.
Yeah, the caravan.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he apparently used to like, to say the least, he used to like the booze.
Yeah. Don't mind it. Well, there was a bloke, some fucking guy from the Telegraph, I think, and he was he did a video where he drank like Churchill for a day.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah,
and it was like he just drank really weak whiskies with soda, pretty much all a day, and then lunch. So he'd started like 9:30 or something with the first weak scotch, and then for lunch he'd have pretty much a bottle of wine. And then for tea time, he'd start having like serious drinking at tea time. Bottle of champagne, bottle of red, and then he'd just keep drinking the weak scotches, stronger scotches, and then he'd start getting serious around about like 9 p.m. Good God!
How did the guy get on? He tried to replicate it.
He was saying, well, he was basically remonstrating with himself, saying that everything's fine. I don't feel particularly drunk. He was already particularly drunk at about 12 o'clock.
I remember going.
Lordy!
I remember going to the Churchill War Room, which is a brilliant museum.
Yeah.
For all the obvious reasons, just a fascinating place.
Yeah.
And they talk a lot about Churchill in there, and it basically becomes quite clear that he is essentially permanently half drunk and always wearing a romper suit. Do you know that as soon as he used to get back from whatever engagement, he would put this bright blue romper suit on?
He invented the onesie.
And look, it's Churchill, so he's done, you know, he's quite a controversial figure these days, but he's done loads of, obviously, say the least, done loads of amazing stuff, right? Mm. if you didn't know anything about that,
yeah,
and you got transported back to like 1941,
a man in a
and a guy
covered.
appeared down the corridor in a bright blue romper suit, bald, cigar on the go, champagne wobbling all over the place. You'd be thinking, I don't feel that confident that he's going to get us through this.
Yeah,
as the bombs are dropping.
Yeah.
Because in the book, there's a great book by Eric Larson called The Splendid and the Vile. And yeah, it's about basically about the Blitz and about Churchill and the rest of it. And Churchill apparently was very fond of getting up on the roof of 10 Downing Street and watching the bombs drop. And he, I think he said something like, oh, it gave him an idea of like context of how important this was. And you know, and if he couldn't brave that, then he wasn't fit to lead and everything. Mm. Basically just pissed. Basically, I'm going up on the fucking roof. Up the roof, yeah. Anyway, he
come and hit me.
Even in Churchill War Room, even in the Churchill War Room,
I'll cash the bomb.
Throw it back. Which is
at least take a fucking revolver.
Yeah,
Jesus.
I know, yeah. What's that gonna do?
I don't know.
What's that gonna do?
Have a couple of pops, can you? Have a couple of pops at a flame.
Oh yeah. That's the only, you've thought of the only thing that makes it worse.
What do you mean?
They see him pissed, they're gonna go, at least he's having a nice time. He's got a gun on the go, they're gonna go, he's unhinged.
Give him a gun.
But anyway, in the even in the Churchill War Rooms, which is explicitly made to show how great Churchill was.
Yeah.
So you've got to assume they're playing it down a bit. Mm. He still comes across as a massive pisser. Right? So and that challenge you're talking about there, exactly. Mm. It reminds me of there was another guy, I think it was way back in the day, so it probably would have been a written piece, like a blogger or something, who tried to eat all the calories that Tour de France cyclists eat during the Tour de France, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
And it's like 7,000 calories a day, which doesn't sound mad, but actually, when you start adding it up, it's unbelievably tough.
Well, Charlie from the Ramble and Marcus from the Ramble were talking about like menus nowadays have to have the calories of what you're eating.
You get the option. You can ask for that menu if you want.
Oh, can you? Right, yeah. Okay. I mean, it is. Charlie said he had a meal on the menu. It was just pie and chips or whatever.
Yeah.
1,600 calories. Yeah. You're like, fucking hell.
I wonder about that because, I mean, this guy who did the Tour de France thing, he quit after one day and he still had like a kilogram of pasta left to eat. It was bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was something like that anyway. Mm. On that calorie thing on the menus, I'm really ambivalent about that because I'm someone who thinks quite a lot about their calories. I struggle quite a lot with my weight. Yeah. It goes up and down quite a lot. And it's on my mind all the time.
Yeah.
And so on one hand, I think, okay, I can understand why people have kind of mooted that as an idea because you think to a lot of people, it's just, oh, well, I can just get the information. It's good information, right? Yeah. So it's I can take the information, I can do what I want with it. I think it really underestimates the psychological effect that a lot of people have with how many calories they're consuming and how difficult it is if you struggle with it, particularly when you're going out for a meal and you kind of teach yourself to go, okay, well, I'm out for a meal now with my wife or whatever, I can enjoy myself.
Yeah.
If you've faced with that, it's actually quite awful.
Well, I agree. I just think we should be told eating out a lot. And there's a culture of this now. You know, we're all foodies
takeaway
now, aren't
well.
We?
Takeaway,
we're all
foodies so convenient,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's, you know, your delivering systems and stuff. Just know, anything on that is bad. You know what I mean? If you're counting your calories, just expect that every meal is going to be north of 500. Just expect that.
Yeah.
Every meal you're going to eat in a restaurant, every meal you're going to eat takeaway is going to be north of 500. That's just the way it is.
But my point was just, though, Pete, was that if you want that information, you can get it.
Mm.
I mean, it's all on people's web. Most of the big chains, it'll be on their website. Mm. McDonald's already do it. McDonald's have been forced to put it on their boxes anyway.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's available to people.
Yeah.
The one that really surprised me was Wagamama's. Have you seen how calorific Wagamama's is? I don't really know why. Because I understand if you're at a really nice restaurant, it's all butter and salt and they just clarify everything with butter, right? So I get that. Wagamama's, I don't really see any reason why it should be that calorific, but it is.
Know, people are always surprised about how calorific like Eastern food is. It's like there's a lot of sugar in, you know, the Western appropriation of it. It's like it's all sugar, isn't it, really?
Right.
It's all sugar and carbs.
I love, yeah, it's
everything's
a really
fried
one.
As well, you know.
It's a really tricky one, and I think.
And I'm a calorie counter as well, because, you know, I'm trying to shift weight, but I'm doing stuff, and it's like, yeah, it's not really working.
It's tough, mate. And I think it's very psychological as well.
Yeah.
What I don't think is really talked about enough is the psychological aspect of it. I find there's a lot of Instagram accounts which are very helpful in terms of information and about being body positive and stuff, but no one really properly tackles the psychological part of it, which I think, and I'm not talking about myself here, but I can absolutely see why someone who had a very difficult upbringing, for example, or coming from a family that's very poor and didn't eat very much, I can absolutely see if they become financially successful or more successful in adult life, I can see the psychological link there between them wanting to eat a lot because they weren't able to when they get all that kind of stuff. No one really talks about that thing, and it's a very psychological issue. It's like, it's almost a bit like, do you know what it feels like to me, Pete? It feels like, you know, back in the day, if someone was a heroin addict, the general angle would be, well, it's your own fault, just don't be an addict.
Yeah.
About really understanding the brain processes. Yeah. And no one really says that now because they understand it. It's kind of, I'm not trying to make an unhelpful comparison, but if people have got a problem psychologically with food, it's not as easy as just saying to them, we'll just stop eating. It's hard. It's really hard for a lot of people to do that. And I don't know if this helps it or not. But anyway, Peter.
Anyway.
Let's have a break from this. Maybe go and get a little snack or something. And then when we come back, we've got a few emails to do. And I really want to read this email that came in very, very recently from our friend Johnny. So
all right, then.
Stick around for that and we'll be back after this. Pip, pip.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
We're back. It's a Luke and Pete show. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, it's real email is it, baby? If you've got access to an email or a Gmail or a Hotmail or a yahoo.co.uk.
Did you say Hotmail?
I said Hotmail. Great, drop us a line at hello@lookandpeachshow.com.
What's your favourite of the legacy email domains?
My email address was peterdonaldson_99@yahoo.co.uk. So feel free to drop me a line. Not going to read it.
You're a Yahoo man. Could you still get access to that email account?
I did, yeah. I tried to look for it. Because I'd like my whole life for like 5 years, I think.
Yeah.
They deleted them all, didn't they?
Shit.
They'd moved to, Hotmail. They moved it over to the servers and we lost all emails.
I had a Hotmail. Can't get into it.
I can't get into it.
Gone.
What horrors would be in there? Surely you could lobby Microsoft. I mean, Microsoft is still around. Hotmail, they should be able to let you in.
Some things you just got to let lie. Let them lie. Anyway,
the problem with getting access to anything, like an old gallery, an old hard drive, whatever, you're kind of like, oh, you'd just be there for all afternoon, really, kind of thinking about the past.
Well, the reason I ask is because our friend Johnny, whose email I'm going to read out now, is emailing from a live email address.
Was that an old Mac one or is that? I can't remember.
I thought it was part of the Hotmail stable.
Probably yours, wasn't it? Yeah.
I think the Hotmail try and rebrand live to Live at one point.
Live.com.
I love it when companies who are big try and rebrand.
Yeah. Well, they can sort of do it and go.
It's fucking not worked, is it? No one's buying it.
Yeah.
Go back.
Facebook will be back.
Yeah, that's a weird one because they almost like explicitly said, oh, yeah, it's like Facebook's toxic now. I'm just going to call it Meta. But you're the people saying it. Do you know what I find weird about that?
What?
Talk to me about Nick Clegg.
What do you mean? He's sort of,
proper dark side.
I mean,
just regularly wheeled out, having to say mental stuff. Do you need the money that much?
Yeah.
Do you really think you're doing
a good
thing?
A lot of money doing it. A lot of money.
I mean, it is, but...
A lot of money, and there's a lot of plausible deniability in that role, isn't there? It's just a town hall, mate.
No, I don't think there is because isn't he like the second in command? Like he's in command of Europe or something like that. He's got a big job.
Yeah.
What's the deniability there? Buck stops with you, brother. Anyway, Johnny Mitchell, hello to you, Johnny. Johnny says, I met Luke and the wife he has access to at a wedding in Istanbul 5 years ago. I remember it well. He said, we had an interesting conversation about the role of luck in football and running. I was probably just saying that I'm not a bad footballer or runner. I'm just very unlucky. Also, I feel we bonded over a satisfying feeling that we are both punching above our weight with the wives we have access to.
Oh, stop you two.
When I met Luke, I had no idea what a great poem. This is not the reason I read this out.
Did you write this?
I'm actually going to get rid of that
Jesus
paragraph.
Jesus Christ. No, read it.
He said, I introduced...
I had no idea he had what a top draw podcaster he was.
Yeah, I want to get rid of that. He said, I became a big fan and I introduced the wife I have access to, Naomi, to the quality pods you guys make.
Right.
Naomi, at the time we became listeners, was an elite level marathon runner. As you can imagine, she spends a lot of her time in the gym and she loves blasting out the Luke and Pete show on her phone while training.
Uh-oh.
Cross-training, strength and conditioning or stretching, you are the sound of her gym work. Since listening to the Luke and Pete show, Naomi's got faster and faster. I said, as sports fans, you would like to hear from her and her audio key to success. However, she holds your show in such high regard, she has never considered her achievements worthy of your attention. When she was selected for England, I told her she should email. When she finished third on her England debut, putting England on the podium with Kenya and Ethiopia, I told her to email. Now she's been selected for Team GB, representing them later this year at the European Championships in Munich. So I've decided to message for her. Thanks for helping Naomi with her training so far. Here's to the pod and its incredible variety of batteries, powering her onto more major championships in the future. Thanks very much, Johnny Mitchell.
Johnny Mitchell.
How good is that?
It's amazing.
I googled Naomi earlier because I've met Johnny and I've not met Naomi. Full disclosure, Johnny is a cousin of one of my best friends.
I see, okay, right.
But I've never met Naomi.
Jobs
because
for the boys.
At the wedding in question, Pete.
Enough for the boys.
Yeah. At the wedding in question, she didn't attend the wedding because she was training.
Run in.
That's how serious she was about it.
Right. Run away bride.
I would... Is there something psychological at play here? I would like her to take you running, Pete.
Okay.
That'd be great, wouldn't it?
No, awful.
How long do you reckon you could do?
Because if you said to Naomi...
Do the slowest pace you do in one of your easiest training runs.
Yeah.
How long do you reckon you can keep up with her?
Well, I can't. I mean, I have literally run before to like the next block of a road and went, you don't need to do this. And I've just stopped. Isn't that awful?
Have you never been for a run?
No, never been. Well, not in recent memory anyway. Terrible. I don't know what I'd do. I do not know what I would do. Yeah. Absolutely awful.
Yeah.
Terrible. I won't see 50, honestly. Awful.
You keep saying that. You were saying that when we were like 25 and it was funny. Now it's not funny.
No, it's not funny.
Because you're 41 in a minute.
I've got sepsis in my elbow.
You're 41 now. Oh, yeah. By the way, before we go,
Right.
Can you talk to me about the sepsis? Because you mentioned it before.
Oh.
What you didn't know, you didn't say it was sepsis before, though.
Bashed my elbow at some point. Might have done it on the darts night, you know. And not known, like a big drunkard.
Was it worse than when Jim bashed his elbow and had to go to hospital?
A bad bang.
Yeah.
He had a bad bang, didn't he?
Yeah. Look at it. What does it look like that? It's a really weird shape.
It's got a little knob. It used to be, like last week on Friday when we did a little picture online, it was a big lumper and it was bright red. Now it's kind of calmed down a little bit, but I had like 3 days of fever. And I'm not sleeping very well.
It's like
an
old lady's ankle, but on an elbow. You weren't sleeping well either. Why is it affecting you that much?
Well, because it's trying to fight off the sepsis, I think. Because basically, what's it called? A bursitis? Bursitis.
Right.
It's a little bag of fluid around your elbow that protects your elbow and your knees and any joint related bits. And you've got loads around your body. But this one, it was clearly like burst and got infected and it's gone big. And obviously, you know, getting your bloodstream, it makes you feel like absolute shit because like sepsis or whatever. I think it's sepsis. It's going around your body. And so I just had a fever for a couple of days. I thought it was COVID. Huh. And then I went to the doctor.
But you've already got COVID twice.
I know.
So
I thought it was third COVID. The third COVID coming. And I went in and I said, I've got a fever and this has happened. And the doctor went, yep. Bursitis, sepsis, bursitis, whatever.
Right.
Have some penicillin. The OG of antibiotics.
Refreshingly old school, that.
Yeah, really
They're
good stuff.
They're still dishing out penicillin to people.
Yeah. And I read that apparently drinking and most antibiotics, you're fine with them. It's an old wives' tale.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
And people who listen to The Ramble as well as this will realise that a couple of weeks ago you were talking about cutting around the doctor's waiting room diagnosing boys. And how come you weren't able to diagnose yourself then?
Diagnose thyself. Yeah, well, I will in the future. If I see someone who's had a bad bang, got a big elbow or knee, a baker's knee, I think they used to call it back in the day.
Housewife's knee as well. Yeah,
is it housewife's knee?
As well, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. They probably changed it because that sounds quite sexy.
And I'll be able to diagnose that. So I'm collecting all of the problems.
Yeah.
Just so I can diagnose them in other people.
It's good this. Because it assumes there's only one thing that can be wrong with any part of your body. Right? So what about if I gave you 10 normal people in an A&E waiting room?
Yeah.
Just a cross-section of 10 people.
I reckon I could have a crack at two of them. I reckon I could diagnose two of them.
What would they be?
There's
always a burn in there. Always a burn.
Always
a burn.
That's
easy.
Go, that's a burn.
Yeah. That's
ooh,
easy.
Ooh. Yeah. That's the noise for burn.
Yeah.
A crick neck. I reckon I could, yeah.
What was it? Rye neck.
Yeah. Sprained neck.
Yeah. I think you could retrain as a doctor.
Yeah.
Because you know that Harry Hill used to be a doctor.
Yes.
You
never go backwards, do you, I suppose?
Well, it's quite interesting how there seems to be a bit of a crossover because a lot of doctors seem to be quite adept broadcasters and entertainers and stuff. There must be something in that.
Well, the best doctor, or maybe they're the worst doctors, I don't know. They you have to kind of take on information and analyse it and then deliver it in a manageable way, I suppose.
The last doctor I saw, I thought was honestly crap. He was so dismissive and so, like, actually quite arrogant.
Mm.
I'm fairly certain he completely misdiagnosed me.
Right.
And I know, like, it's an unfashionable thing to say because they're under pressure and all the rest of it, cutbacks. Yeah. But he was, like, bad. Noticeably bad. I saw two doctors about the same thing. The first doctor was brilliant. He referred me to this specialist who was completely crap.
Right.
So, listen, I'm just saying that if you want to have a look at the old knee, mate, you're welcome to do so, because it can't get any worse than that.
Yes.
Anyway, let's get out of here. We'll be back on Thursday with more of this chat. Special thanks to Johnny and Naomi. Good luck, Naomi, in the upcoming Team GB World Championships. We'll be rooting for you. Keep us posted. Thank you to everyone who emailed in. Thursday, we'll do battery brands. We've got some good ones lined up. We're still finding new ones. And you can get in touch with us, hello@lukeandpeteshow.com, as Pete said, or you can hit us up on social media @LukeandPeteShow. We'd love to hear from you. And if you like the show, make sure you tell your friends and leave us a little 5-star review, because we're just in here talking crap to each other twice a week. It's lots of fun. We love that you enjoy it, but why don't you spread the word as well? Until Thursday, Peter, it's goodbye from you.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me as well.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.